Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Special Education Matters. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and I have an 18-year-old son with autism. Should I hire an advocate? This question may be on your mind as you begin or continue to learn about and push for services for your child with special needs. Dr. Susan Burnett faced those same questions while helping her two children obtain additional support services in school. In fact, she ended up becoming a full-time advocate herself. I talk with Susan today about a wide range of issues when deciding when or if to hire an advocate. We discuss what an advocate does, the district's reactions, how it may lead to more services for a child, and the what's and the ifs and the costs that a parent might expect to pay. Susan and I work together at California Special Needs Law Group. Susan Burnett, thanks so much for joining me on the program today.
My pleasure.
Well, of course, it's super to have you here, and you are an advocate. And so today we're going to talk about advocate stuff, and hopefully we can get you back on the program again to talk even more about specifics, certain instances and certain things. But for today, we're just going to cover generally what an advocate does. And so that's the first question we got lined up, ready to go. Can you just tell us, what is an advocate?
An advocate is someone who assists families with special needs kids. They have an understanding of the special ed law, and they can help guide parents into different areas of law they may want to look at to consider of their legal rights. And clearly, they're not an attorney, but they can guide the parent with their opinion on certain parts of the law that might help them move their child forward into getting eligibility. Or whatever the parent is seeking. So basically, it's someone who comes alongside the parent and offers support, help them to understand the system. It's like a big puzzle, and often parents are very overwhelmed when they get a diagnosis. And an advocate with someone who's seasoned knows exactly how to put all the pieces together and to guide a parent into how best to get the services from the district that would help their child.
Okay, so I imagine, like, when my son was three, we wanted him to be in a program for kids with autism, a special program the school district had. So everybody came to the house, they looked at him, and they evaluated, and they said, well, we'll let you know. Well, they said yes, so it was no big deal. But had they said no, my wife and I were thinking, Lori, we're thinking, gosh, we need to pursue, we called it mediation or arbitration. We didn't even know the words in those days. Is that kind of when we probably should have brought in an advocate at that point? Is that kind of what you would do, help there?
I always encourage families to try and work it out with the district first, their contact people at the school. See if you can come to an agreement. If an agreement can't be reached, then that's the time to consider bringing in a third party. Mm-hmm. A third party can help so the parent doesn't feel as though they're being adversarial of trying to fight a district, but bringing in an expert to help the district understand what the parent is believing is the problem, helping them understand what the needs are. So yeah, that would be a time if there's a disagreement and you've really tried in good faith working with mm-hmm. the district and it's at a standstill, bring in a third person who can support you and help you and move it forward.
And are those typically the kind of cases, the kinds of groups of people that come to you, someone who's tried in advance and then they're like, I don't know what to do, this isn't working, I need more help?
Probably 95% of the phone calls that we get is about a parent who's frustrated with the school system, and they've tried and tried, and they're tired of hearing no. Uh-huh. There's about 5% of the population of phone calls that we get that they're already anticipating there might be a problem, and they want to do everything right. So as soon as they feel as though this child might have a disability, uh-huh. they make a phone call to my office and they want to just bring me in from the get-go, just make sure everything runs smooth.
Okay, so that's new information to me. I always assumed an advocate was somebody who's going to sit with me at the IEP, but somebody like myself, I could have called you in advance and, hey, what suggestions do you have? What should I say? What should I look for? What are my rights? Advocates can help in that area too then, huh?
Right. It's a training time, too, that they can reach out and obtain some knowledge about how this whole process works.
All right. How about an example then? So, you know, you wake up every day and you put on your advocate hat or whatever it is that make you, maybe you have a badge that says advocate or something. And then what do you do? Like, what's a typical way, if you know, a good story or something of how you've worked with some parents?
Let's see. A case that comes to mind is one where a family contacted my office and they were looking for eligibility, and the district denied eligibility. And so I asked the family to send me the assessment report and let me see if I thought this child is eligible. Let me see if I can help. And sure enough, when I read that assessment report that was conducted by the district, he was clearly eligible. So so we called an IEP meeting, and we had a meeting. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get eligibility at that first meeting, but by the time we had another meeting, it became more evident that the child needed eligibility, needed special education services. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a typical case where we'll get a phone call and they're frustrated that they just want eligibility. That's an easier one to get the eligibility. So that's one case that comes to mind.
So really that's the first step, is just the district determines, yes, your child meets the requirement to get additional services. Maybe the next step then is getting specific services or agreeing on what those services would be, right?
Correct.
Okay, got it. So what's it like in those meetings? So, you know, I've been to a lot of IEP meetings, and I haven't never had a third party or an advocate there. So, you know, we're all kind of happily getting along. Is it changed the tone when an advocate comes in? Does everybody sort of step back and they're more careful about what they say? I mean, in a sense, do you sacrifice the relationship when you're a parent when you bring in an advocate?
Well, it can kind of cause a little apprehension on the district's part, because the first thing they're going to think is, what have we done wrong? But I encourage parents to just always stay positive. And when I approach a team, I'm friendly, and I you know, just kind of assure them I'm there just to kind of get a better understanding and to help the parent feel heard. And I try to put the district at ease, so they're they don't think I'm there as the authority and I'm going to tell them what to do. I really take a collaborative team approach. And I think what's so important about that is that these families are going to be with these people for a while. So if you have a young child with a disability, you're going to be doing these IEP meetings all the way through to the end. So it's important to keep a good relationship. And I really work hard at making the district feel comfortable that I'm just a part of the team.
So generally then, is the conflict, so to speak, with the administration versus with the speech therapist or OT or teacher, it sounds like?
You're exactly right. The people at the table, majority of the teachers, the providers of services, they're all there just trying to do their best. They're using the tools that they've been provided. So if a child isn't doing well, I'm very clear that we're not pointing fingers at any particular person. Mm-hmm. We are looking at what methodologies aren't working for this particular child and what else can we do differently. And it's true, it's the administrators that are the gatekeepers. So if there's, let's talk about reading. So if a child is in a reading program at a district and the child isn't making meaningful progress, mm-hmm. we come to the table and we have data showing not making progress, but what else can we do? And the service providers, they only know program X, so they don't have any solutions or suggestions.
Okay.
But an administrator knows about programs that are in the district, perhaps not necessarily in the school yet, but are available in the district. So I like administrators attending the meeting, the program specialists.
So you'll find they'll be helpful. I mean, at that point, everybody is collaborative with what's going on to meet the child's needs.
Sometimes. Not always. sometimes we have to agree to disagree. That's okay.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do you think the mindset of perhaps one of the administrators is, okay, there's like five services this child qualifies for, but my goal is to get out of this meeting just giving them two instead of all five because that's expensive. And is it like that where then you have to probe to say, look, we know there's additional services this child qualifies. We all know it. Let's just get it done.
I like to use data. So an opinion, my opinion that a child needs a certain something, it doesn't necessarily have much weight of what a parent is thinking or an advocate is thinking. But when you can look at that data, and let's say it's a child with a speech and language disability, and point out areas of deficits, and so whatever the disability is, that, you know, sometimes they just need some convincing and showing where the problems are.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
You know, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to take a turn in a different direction. So, you know, I've listened to what you said. I thought, well, you know, I'd like to get some additional services. Maybe I don't know what services are available for my child. So I'm out looking for an advocate. Back to my situation when my son was three, like, I don't know if I wouldn't have known what to ask, what makes a good advocate? Like, what sort of things do I want to hear when I talk to somebody who says they can be an advocate for me? What makes a good advocate?
I think asking other parents of special needs kids, they're a great resource of who's good out there, who to avoid. There's good ones and there's some that aren't so great. So ask around, ask other, you know, if you know of any other families who have used an advocate, or I've even get referrals from district people. Mm-hmm. So on the down low, districts will refer a parent to me knowing that this child needs an advocate, like a teacher. We'll say, don't tell anyone, but here, contact this person. So sometimes if you have a really good relationship with your teacher, ask them if they know of any parents who have used a good advocate.
Oh, that's too funny. So they go up to the parent and they go, call Susan or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm assuming that's how it's done. I know they have to be very discreet because it can't come back to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my mind, it's a compliment that when I get a referral from a parent tells mm-hmm. me that the district psychologist, teacher, mm-hmm. speech path, I've even had a principal refer clients to me, that it says I'm doing something right because I'm working as a team.
Okay.
Unless and that's you're, really but, important.
Unless you're secretly on the district's payroll. And you're.
Well, that I've heard that happens as well.
Oh, I was just kidding.
No.
Really?
Not on their payroll, but that they side too much with the district. I've heard this happening recently in my area. Someone that I know is an advocate. So it does happen. That's why ask parents, ask around, because you're going to know who is really good. And don't get me wrong, when I show up to a meeting, they absolutely are sending a program specialist because they want to make sure that the team does everything right and I don't find any errors or violations. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm feared, but I think I'm respected.
So that program specialist wouldn't come necessarily if I just showed up as a parent?
No.
All right, so Susan, I have a child with special needs, and having a child with special needs means you can spend endless amounts of money on therapies and all those sorts of things, and you can also spend some money on getting help with, let's say, an advocate. So you must get this question all the time. What does it typically cost for somebody to hire an advocate? Keeping in mind there's a range of whether they live in California or Maine, there may be differences within those costs.
Right. That is a common question. People want to know what they are going to be investing, how much they're going to be investing to get the help.
Right.
In California, where I'm located, it's about $150 an hour or $175 at the top range per hour. And I often get the question, well, how many hours is it going to take? Of course, every case is so unique and so different that that's really a hard question to answer. But generally speaking, I would say I would expect to spend about $1,000 to have someone review your records, look at all the assessments, and make an educational plan for you, and to go to a couple IEP meetings. That's about a range I would say you could expect. And then you control if it doesn't move forward. Do you want to keep trying, bring the advocate in to keep on advocating? Or is that at that point, do we want to consider going to the legal side of things, which is a whole different type of approach?
Okay, so at that point, a few hours in, and seven to 10 hours in or so, it's a decision point. And so that's the initial investment. And when you go to the legal area, and we talked about this with Rich in the other program, then you're talking about possibly getting settlement reimbursement from the district for the fees.
Correct. So if we retain an attorney and so we bring on an attorney, then I and the attorney will often not charge the parent at that time. We start working the case and see if we can get a settlement. And in that settlement, we get the district to fund our fees. So the parent doesn't have to keep unloading or keep shelling out the money. Once it goes legal and it's a good case, then we can just provide services without billing the parent right away, and we'll try and get that reimbursed.
So advocacy. Now, you could have done something else. Why are you doing advocacy? What brought you to this world?
I ask myself that question quite often because I was on a path of becoming a clinical psychologist.
Right.
I was in private practice for a while. And I had two special needs children and decided to stay home with them for 15 years. And so I was just doing their IEPs. For a while, I did them by myself. I realized I was becoming too emotional, so I hired an advocate to go with me.
Okay.
Because oftentimes when it's your own child, it's hard to be objective and composed and professional because the emotions take over. So I hired an advocate, and I thought, this is really interesting. I really enjoyed the aspects of special ed law, helping families, and so I started just helping other families by word of mouth, my friends, their friends, and then their friends' friends. And I'm like, well, this must be an area that I'm called to do because, one, I enjoy it.
Right. Okay.
And I'm just getting all of these requests for help. So that's why I bent in that direction instead of going back to clinical psychology.
So any regrets?
Not a one.
Oh, that's good. That's a good sign.
No, love it.
All right, let me ask you a final question.
Absolutely love it.
Where do you see the future going with parents advocating for their kids? Is it going to be in the direction where they're going to need outside help more often, or will they be able to do it on their own?
Knowledge is power, right? So If they're the type of parent who can get training, can become sophisticated in all the different areas of disabilities, I mean, if they have the extra time to make this their expertise, I think they could do it. But mostly parents just want to focus on their children and just want to bring someone in who already has the expertise, who's already spent the time learning this system and knows what's out there and kind of shortcut the learning curve, if you will,
right,
and hire an advocate. I think this is what I notice. Parents always get more services, is my experience, that you always get better services, at least more frequency of services instead of a half hour a week of a group individual, you know, with an bringing an advocate in and helping the team understand why more is needed. The kids inevitably get more services.
Dr. Susan Burnett, thanks so much for taking some time today and being on the program.
Thank you. My pleasure. I enjoyed it.
To csnlg.com/listen, where you'll find show notes from today's show as well as other shows that we've done. And of course, there'll be an option there for you to subscribe so you'll be notified about every single show that we do in the future. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and we'll talk again soon.